Wanted to thank you guys so much for being here at our last big meeting. Want to thank you. Yeah. I was assuming there was going to be some relief in this announcement. And some of you might be wondering why this is our last meeting. We want to be able to explain that to you. But first and foremost, I just wanted to thank you. I don't want a time to pass when I'm in front of you, the Singles Ministry of Covenant Life Church, when I am thanking you on behalf of Kevin, Braden, and myself, and really the whole pastoral team, for the ways in which you love Jesus Christ, the ways in which you live for Jesus Christ, the ways in which you proclaim Jesus Christ. You guys really, really do make pastoring a joy for us, and we just want to say thanks. We love you guys so much. And we hope that everything we're going to be sharing today is just a further expression of our love and our gratefulness for each of you. So, again, you might be wondering, why is this the last big meeting? What's going on? Well, you might have heard that there's been a lot going on in Covenant Life Church of late, over the last year. And while we have been taking a lot of time to sort through this as a pastoral team, we've also been taking a lot of time praying, searching the scriptures, and talking together about the future of our church. And that's why we wanted to gather you together tonight and talk about this. We want to be faithful as your pastors to what's been entrusted to us, what's been given to us through the generations that have preceded us. And we want to continue into the future to be wise builders of Covenant Life Church. And this focus on the future has led us to talk together and pray about the mission of the church over the last year. So we're grateful for everything that God has done over the last 35 years of our church. You guys know our church is 35 years old. And God has done a tremendous amount of work and brought a tremendous amount of blessing to Montgomery County and really beyond Montgomery County into the U.S. and even in the world through the ministry of Covenant Life Church, through the ministry that you are doing on a daily basis. And we're grateful to God for this. But we're also grateful to God and thanking God for the next 35 years in anticipating what God is going to do in and through the ministry that you will be doing as Covenant Life Church. So we're not going to ignore current issues, obviously, that are going on, but we're also not going to ignore our future and what God has called us. He's called us to this great work of loving God. He's called us to this great work of proclaiming Christ, that our Heavenly Father has called us to as the church and has called us to as individual members of the church. So to this end, your pastoral team has actually adopted a new mission statement that we're hoping to use this as a biblical foundation for the ministry of the church. Now, you need to know this about me. I'm not normally a big fan of mission statements because I've found at times they quickly become empty slogans that maybe we make t-shirts out of, or we slap on the back of our car on the bumper, and we, you know, say we're living for that, but we really have no idea what it means. But what we want as a pastoral team and what we want to be doing as a church is allowing this clearly defined, articulated from Scripture mission that God has given us as a church to drive everything that we're doing, to drive our training, to drive our equipping, to drive our methodologies, and to drive our practices. And that's what tonight is about, to talk to you about that. In a way, you guys really are the first in Covenant Life Church to be hearing about this in the clearest way. You've probably heard this from time to time on Sunday mornings. We've been talking about it, slipping it into the conversation. But this really has been shaping a lot of our planning. We want to bring you into this, and we want to partner with you in this. So this is our intention for the mission statement, and this is why our lead pastor, Joshua Harris, is here to explain to us the motivation behind this new mission statement, to fill it out a little bit more, to explain it to us a little bit more. Let's welcome Josh as he comes now to share.
Thank you. Great to be with you guys tonight. Thank you for having me. Just want to say real quickly how grateful I am for this man right here and his leadership and friendship. You know, the other day I was studying my Bible, I was journaling, I was having a little bit of a struggle in my soul, And Isaac just called me up and said, "Hey, what's up?" And I just started sharing with him. I was just missing my mom. I was having these different thoughts of regret and different things as I was looking back on her being gone. And Isaac just began to care for me and just be a friend, be a pastor to me, care for my soul. And I'm just so grateful that you've got a guy like this and men like Braden and Kevin who are leading you. And it's a thrill for me just to come tonight and to communicate my affection for all of you. I've been thinking about the singles ministry quite a bit lately. Just been on my heart, been praying for you, and I'm excited to see what God's going to be doing in the coming months and coming years in your midst. And so to be able to come here tonight and just talk about kind of the bigger picture vision that I believe God's called us to as a church, and then for you to be able to hear how your specific ministry fits into that, I think is very exciting. So thanks for letting me have this opportunity. I appreciate it. You know, I don't normally come and preach mission statements. That's kind of a strange thing. But I want to be able to talk to you about this. So I want to go to a couple places in Scripture. If you would, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. And the Great Commission that Jesus gives really is the heart of our mission statement. It's drawn from this completely, but I want to read this passage and then another passage from 2 Timothy and then dive into the specifics of our mission statement. These are the words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And then if you would, turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul is at the end of his life reflecting on a life given to this mission that Jesus gave to his disciples. And he says to Timothy in verse 8 of chapter 1, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, this message of the gospel, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death." Isn't that good news? "Who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do." There is a purpose and a mission driving this man that gives him a willingness even to suffer for it. "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit," the treasure, "guard the good deposit entrusted to you." So here's the deal. The only reason that we can have a mission together is because we have a Savior who has all authority. There is someone who has power and authority that can give us a game plan for our lives. And the reason we can have a mission that can captivate our hearts is because this Savior is so glorious and so awesome, and his gospel is so precious. There is something life-transforming and precious that has come into our lives. The truth of Christ crucified and risen from the dead that changes everything and that is worthy of our entire lives. That's why talking about a mission has value, because of who's given it and of how precious the message is that has changed us and that we get to proclaim to other people. I don't know if you've thought about this recently, but the gospel is such a treasure, isn't it? You know, we kind of pride ourselves in being gospel-centered people, but the reality is, friends, we've not even begun to comprehend what an awesome thing we have received. I love the way Paul talks about there, this good deposit, this treasure that we have. I don't know, you know, in this economy, maybe you've not made a good deposit lately. But he's comparing it to something of such value, right? I've got to tell you this story. I've got three kids. Actually, my son is here, Joshua Quinn. This is his first singles meeting. All right. He's pretty excited about that. I've got three kids, and not too long ago, it was a Monday, my day off, so I was trying to think of some activity to do with the kids, and I decided I was going to take them to the bank and allow them to make a deposit into their, they have these little bank accounts, they have hardly any money in there, you know, and I was feeling guilty because I told them I would give them an allowance. I haven't done it for like 2 years. So and I'm praise God, they're not greedy. They haven't been hounding me for this, but I hadn't given them an allowance. And so I had this this little change jar. Do you do this where you like something you throw change into? And it was one of those old cookie tins, like that you get at Christmas time, one of those tins. And it's in my closet. And so at the end of the day, if I have change in my pockets, I'll just throw it in there. And so it's accumulated over time. And so the little tin was full. So I looked at this and I thought, okay, there's probably about $75, maybe $100 in this jar. And so I said to the kids, I'm going to give you everything that's in this jar. We're going to take it to the bank, you know, have them count it up. And then I'm going to divide it between the three of you. And so they're like, okay, great. You know, that's exciting. And so we take it in there and we go to the Sandy Spring Bank right here on 124. And, you know, they take us into the back and we're like taking out the buttons and like Chuck E. Cheese coins and, you know, all this stuff that's in there. And we sort all that through. And they have this big change machine in the back in like the vault room, you know, where the safety deposit boxes are. So the kids are just like, oh, this is fun, you know. And we go back there and they start pouring the change into the machine and it's sorting it through. And the cool thing is on the front of the machine is this little display that's showing the amount of money as it's going through. And so the kids are like, you know, this is their money, right? So they're all like standing there watching the amount. And so they start pouring it in and they keep pouring it in and it's climbing and it's climbing. And when it passed 100, my heart started to sink a little bit. And then it keeps going. It hits 200. It hits 300. It hits $400. And my kids are just standing there going, wow, yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm obviously not very good at estimating values. They each got like $130 deposited into their savings accounts. Talk about a good deposit, right? And you know, when we talk about the gospel, we talk about it as being valuable. We have not even begun to comprehend what an awesome treasure we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? I mean, we are going to be spending eternity just the waves of realization washing over us of all that Jesus Christ has won for us. That all of our sins have been completely paid for, that the eternal hell that we deserve, we never have to face. We never have to see. We never have to see the judgment of God. And instead, the riches and the favor and the blessing for eternity we have in Jesus Christ. That's the message we have. That message is so precious. We're called to guard it and to protect it and to preserve it. And that message is so wonderful. Brothers and sisters, it is the only saving message for this lost world. That's why we have a mission. Because Jesus Christ has all authority and He has given us the message of life. The message of life. And so we tried to put together into a short statement this mission statement. I'll just share it with you. Our mission as a church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who are built on the Word, empowered by the Spirit, and go into all the world with the gospel of grace. Is that on the screen? All right, there you go. Now, as I said, you know, you really could just draw this from Matthew 28 and the Great Commission that Jesus gives to us. But the reason we wanted to try to encapsulate this into a phrase that we can use and remember and remind is because, you know how this is. It's easy to just get distracted by so many different things, to be distracted by so many different priorities, and to forget what we're about. And so we wanted a statement that we can keep in front of us. I don't know if this has hit you, but I'm getting old and I just forget stuff. Does anybody else do this where you go into a room to get something or you run upstairs to get something and then you're like, why am I here? This happens to me. And we can sometimes do that as a church. It's like, okay, we're here. Why are we here? What are we doing? Well, here's the mission. Here's the mission. I just want to walk through this very simply. Number one, our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to gain a group of people who act just like us or followers of ourselves. It's all about Jesus. In other words, our purpose is all about the glory and the name and the renown of Jesus Christ. And we want to fulfill Jesus' command to us to make disciples, to teach others to love Him and to worship Him and to obey Him. We want to help others just be caught up in the glory of worshiping this Jesus, to be disciples of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, that's what we're all about as a church, helping other people know and love and follow Jesus Christ. We want to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And then when we think about some of the specifics of what a mature, functioning disciple of Jesus Christ looks like, these three other phrases just kind of fill that out. We want disciples of Jesus Christ who are built on the Word. We want to be a Bible-based church, a Word church, a church that cares about the truth of God's Word, built on the Word. You know, Jesus tells that story about the man who built his house on the rock. It's coming to Jesus, listening to His words, and putting them into practice. We want to be people who know the Bible, who live by the Bible, who are governed by the Bible in every part of our lives, whether it's our finances, our sexuality, or whatever it might be. We want to be people who do ministry out of the Word so that we're coming to one another and helping each other grow and flourish, not just with our opinion or, you know, the latest thing that's worked for us, but with the living Word of God. And so we're all called into this work of making disciples, and we want to make disciples by knowing the Word and speaking the Word to each other. Second, we want to be empowered by the Spirit. And this has been a distinctive of this church from its very founding. Not only that we love sound doctrine, but we believe in the work and person of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I think this is so important to put in there is because we always want to be a church that's remembering something. And that is that the Christian life requires supernatural power. It's not just, oh yeah, let's just get together and let's just do our thing and we can make this happen. No. We need the Holy Spirit, number one, to be regenerated, to be able to know Jesus, to be able to comprehend the Word of God, and to have the boldness required to fulfill the mission that Jesus has called us to. And so we never want to have this mindset of, we can just sort of be professional Christians, we've been doing this long enough, we can make this happen. No, we want to be a people who are on our knees acknowledging that unless God shows up, nothing is happening. We want to be a people who are passionate about the presence of God, about worship, about prayer, about recognizing that it's His work in our midst that makes ministry happen. And then finally, we want to be disciples who go. Always with that outward looking heart, going into the world to share the gospel of God's grace. You know, when I don't know how many years ago this has been, but I helped to write a little statement for our little church bulletin, and it was describing our church, and it was, we want to be a community of gospel-centered people. And I was really proud of that statement because I really wanted to get gospel-centered there in the phrase. And so I fit that in. I thought that was great. And it is a wonderful statement. We want to be a gospel-centered community. But as I look back, I realize different ways that God has been growing our church over the years. And I recognize that even that statement was so inwardly focused. It's like, we want to be a community of gospel-centered people. And if we just have our gospel, and if we're in community with each other, then everything's fine. And yet, what does God call us to? He calls us to go, doesn't he? He calls us to the lost. He calls us to the world. And part of being that gospel-centered community is being a city on a hill. You know, a light in darkness. And so one of the things that I want every member of this church to be aware of is if I'm growing in my relationship with God, if I'm growing in holiness, if I know the Word, if I'm enjoying the Holy Spirit, that's all great. But you're not a mature, fully functioning disciple until you take all that truth and you take all that power and you take all that love you've received from God and you point it outward into a world that desperately needs to hear the good news about Jesus. And so that going into the world is just a reminder that every day, whether it's going into a place of work or a campus or a neighborhood, or if it's praying for the nations or going to the nations, whether through short-term missions or long-term missions or whatever it might be, that this mission that Jesus has called us to is a global mission. And it starts right here in this region, in this county. And so that's the mission statement. It's just the Christian life, isn't it? It's just the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the Great Commission. It's treasuring the gospel and loving the glory of God so much that we're focused on calling others into it. And I just would love for you to, so many of you are already giving your heart and soul to this mission through your involvement in this church. And I just want to ask you, keep pressing forward. God has so many good things for us in the days to come. And if you memorize this mission and you can come and say it to me in random times, I'll give you cash. Okay? That's the last thing I want to say. Isaac, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Ben. It sounds like maybe we should be asking your kids for cash based on the story that you shared. Well, I just wanted to share a few words just to wrap us up here, and then we're going to sing again to the Lord, which I think is the only appropriate way to wrap up our meeting here. The obvious thing, I think, about everything that we're talking about with this new mission statement is it requires the commitment of God behind this mission statement to be doing this great work and be doing this supernatural work, but it also requires us. God, in His sovereignty and in His design, He has established the means through which the church is built and the gospel is proclaimed and disciples are made, and it's through the participation of His people. And that's an amazing reality, that God has called us to participate in His mission. He could bypass us. He could ignore us and just kind of anoint some angels to go out there and start proclaiming Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. But He's chosen to use you, and He's chosen to use me. He's chosen to use His church throughout history to accomplish His purposes. And to bring this home and to make this even more real, hopefully, is to use myself. The entire reason, apart from God's sovereignty and God's action in saving me, the entire reason why I am here today is because members of Covenant Life Church took the commission that He's given the church seriously to go into the world and make disciples. I am evangelistic fruit of the ministry of Covenant Life Church. Your pastors, your friends, your small group members are fruit of the evangelistic ministry, this Great Commission ministry of Covenant Life Church. And the connection here, friends, is that this church exists today because of God's commitment to be glorified in the DC area and God's commitment to be glorified in the world. And we exist today as a church because of God's determination to create a people of His own possession who've been transformed by Christ, who've been empowered by His Spirit, and who are deeply committed to loving God and loving the world. That's why the church exists. And if past generations of believers in Jesus Christ neglected playing their role in God's plan of redemption, Covenant Life wouldn't exist today. And here's where you come in. It's easy to get excited about new mission statements and, you know, yeah, that's what we're about. But it's a little bit harder to start diving that in and digging that into our actual lives and letting it affect what we do and how we live our lives. And that's our desire. That's our desire, is to make this connection. This church wouldn't exist and will not exist for future generations as a center of gospel proclamation and Christ exaltation for future generations without you. It's not dependent on Josh Harris. It's not dependent on me. It's not dependent on any one of us. It's dependent upon God's commitment to make disciples of the world and us participating in that. So it's our conviction as your pastors that our primary role as your pastors is to be equipping you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be equipping you to love your neighbor as yourself, and to make clear that this love for God and others is the primary motivation that we have in going and doing all that Josh described to us tonight. We don't want the Great Commission to be a great big to-do for you. We want the Great Commission and this mission statement that we're adopting as Covenant Life Church to be a great big motivation for you, because you love Jesus Christ, because you've encountered His love, and your life is dedicated to worshiping Him and praising Him and exalting Him and proclaiming Him. We really believe that the worship of God and that loving God and loving others is synonymous with doing this mission of making disciples of all the nations. They're one and the same. You could say one's a motivation and one flows from it, but they are integrated. They are deeply connected, friends. And we want to equip you in that regard, to help you see those connections, to help you be living in line of those connections. We want to see this church populated with more and more and more and more new converts to Jesus Christ. We want to see this church continue as a center for the faithful exposition of Scripture and the right worship of God. We want to see in 10 years more churches planted from our midst and hundreds of members of our church sent out to plant those churches. We want to see men and women grounded in the Word of God and faithfully speaking that Word to one another in fellowship and community. We want to see every member proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ joyfully and vigorously to a dying community and a dying world. We want to see every man and woman in this church playing their part to do the work, this great commission of building the church and reaching the world. And friends, we can't do this without you. We could stand up in front of you all day and yell and holler about stuff, but we need to be partnering together. That's what the Scriptures are talking about in Ephesians 4. Every member playing its part to build up the church, to build up the kingdom of God, to proclaim Jesus Christ. So we want to equip you. We want to equip you, and then we want to take our spot alongside of you in doing this great commission work that God has called us to. We want to do it together. We want to equip you. We believe we're called to do that. But we also want to be doing it alongside of you. So what I'd like you to do is to pray over this mission statement. Pray over Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I want you to take some time, even take some time to, spend an hour to plan for this. Set it aside on a Saturday morning or an evening. Take some time to pray over what God has called us to in Christ. And pray over how you can be doing this more faithfully and more regularly as a member of the body of Christ. I want you to pray over your motivation for doing this. Again, this is not a great big to-do. This is flowing out of our love for God. This is flowing out of our worship for God. This is flowing out of our love for others, that we go and then do these things. So pray for your motivation. Pray for direction of how this could look like in your life. Now, to this end, we're seeking to focus our equipping efforts on what God has called us to as a church. And specifically in the singles ministry, we want to be letting this mission drive our ministry efforts and what we're doing. Now, by God's grace, this doesn't mean drastic change for us. We're not throwing everything out and kind of hitting the reset button here. God has been faithful to lead us, to help us be a faithful church, to help us be a faithful people doing these things. But we just want to focus in more, a little bit more tightly on these things that God has called us to. And this involves some changes in structures, some changes in methodologies, some changes in practices, but it doesn't involve any changes in values. It doesn't involve any changes in defining characteristics of our church. So an example of some changes to structures or methodologies would be the fact that we're ending the big meeting. We've decided, and just as we prayerfully sought the Lord and talked with you, that the big meeting had reached a point of perhaps diminishing returns in terms of how we're equipping you to be doing the mission that we're pursuing. So we're seeking to integrate new structures and new methodologies to help us be doing the same things together that we're called to. So an example of this would be the handout that we gave you that was on your chair. I'd like you guys to read through this at some point. Maybe when you're taking that time to pray through our mission statement, pray through your motivation for it, to pray through your role in it. Use this as a template to be praying through what God perhaps has called you to do and how to participate in this. So in this is basically, here's what we're hoping to do. Over this coming year in 2012. Here's how we're going to be seeking to equip you to be making disciples. Here's how we're going to be seeking to be building each other up upon the Word of God and to be a word-speaking community to one another. Here's how we're seeking to go into the world to preach the gospel. Here's how we're seeking to cultivate this consistent dependence upon the Spirit of God to do everything that He's called us to. So it's here. So we'd like you to read through this carefully. We want to hear your perspective. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear your even your critique, if you have some of that. We're open to that as well. So some examples I just want to highlight briefly. We're going to be doing some quarterly meetings on Friday nights. Friday nights primarily to serve as an inviting context for perhaps people you're reaching out to, but also to serve the breadth of our care groups. Not all of our care groups meet, small groups meet on Tuesdays anymore. And doing the big meeting on Tuesdays didn't serve, you know, those four or five or six care groups that meet on different nights. So we're doing these on Friday nights. And the great grand idea, it's very simple for these times, is we want to behold the God of the mission. We want to see who He is. We want to know Him for who He is, because that's going to help us then go proclaim Him for who He is. So we're going to be taking time during those quarterly meetings to behold God, the God of the gospel, and so that we can rightly proclaim Him and exalt Him more. Another quick example is we're going to be coming into your care groups more regularly and faithfully. For those of you that oversee your groups, you're probably wondering if I ever come to your small groups. Well, I'm going to be now. I'm making myself accountable to you guys for that. So basically what we're going to be doing in coming to your small groups is having Bible studies with you, leading these Bible study discussions on particular topics related to our mission statement, making disciples, knowing and understanding the Word, and having discussions with you guys based on it. We'll be teaching a little bit. We'll be discussing these things with you. So we're really looking forward to that. We're contacting your small group leaders in order for scheduling a time that works for your care groups to be coming in and doing that. Those are just a couple small examples, but read through this. Let us know what questions you guys have. Let us know how you see this fleshing out. And another big thing is we just want to be doing more evangelism together. Want to be encouraging and equipping you to be doing more evangelism. So that's a big point and purpose of some of these initiatives that we're going to be doing. So a lot more details to come for those things as well. So let's have the band come up now. I've never gotten to say that. We used to say that like every Sunday when the guy was closing the meeting. Would the band come? And the guy would start to twinkle on the piano a little bit. Do you guys remember that? It's the first time I've ever said that. So, interesting. So, here's what I want to say just to wrap up. We love you. We are deeply committed to you and committed to helping you fulfill and participate in the mission that God has given us as a church. And we also want you to know that we really do need you. in doing this. We don't just need a few godly people here and there. We need each member of this body of Christ playing his and her part to be working to build this church, to be working to reach this community, to be working to reach the world, because Jesus Christ is worthy of being exalted and glorified and praised by every human being that lives on this earth. So guys, join with us. Let us pray together, labor together in loving God and the world in order to make disciples who are built on the Word, empowered by the Spirit, and going into the world with the gospel of God's grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this commission, this direction, this participation that you have called us to. And Father, I just pray for each and every person here, God, that our hearts would be to proclaim you and to live for you and to tell others about you and to teach others about you for the simple fact that you are worthy of it. That you are worthy of being praised and worshiped by every human being on this planet. And God, that we have this amazing privilege of knowing you, of being called your sons and daughters, of experiencing deep and significant and unending communion with you, of experiencing the joy of forgiveness of sins, of experiencing the comfort of the hope of eternal life. And that this isn't just for us, this is for those that will come after us. So God, help us to look to you, to behold you in your greatness and your glory and your power and your mercy and your love. And then God, help us then with that in mind, look to those that need to know you and to experience your love and your power and your mercy and your grace. So God, meet us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.